start the hour on Space Cowboy and ZZ Top, and Give Me All Your Loving from the Eliminator album as we commemorate the death of Dusty Hill, the bass guitarist who died yesterday at the age of 72. At the Full English Breakfast Show, as I was saying in the press review, New Zealand's been named among five countries that are best likely to survive a global collapse of society. This is really cheerful stuff. Researchers say it comes as no surprise, with billionaires reported to be buying land for bunkers in New Zealand in preparation for an apocalypse. The country was found to have the greatest potential to survive a collapse somewhat unscathed because of its geothermal and hydroelectric energy, abundant agricultural land, and low population density. Other places ranked highly to survive are Iceland, the UK, Tasmania and Ireland. Researchers say human civilization is in a perilous state as a result of a highly interconnected and energy-intensive society that's developed and the environmental damage that's come from it. A collapse could arise from shocks such as severe financial crisis, the impacts of the climate crisis, destruction of nature, an even worse pandemic than COVID-19, or a combination of these at the same time. Lucky they haven't all happened at the same time. Countries were ranked according to their ability to grow food for their population, protect their borders from unwanted mass migration, and maintain an electrical grid and some manufacturing ability. Ireland's in temperate regions, and mostly with low population densities, came out on top. The study highlighted that nations need to increase their resilience, and they said a globalised society that prized economic efficiency would cause setbacks and that spare capacity was needed in food and other vital sectors. Now, Professor Ali Jones of Anglia Ruskin University in the UK said, "We weren't surprised New Zealand was on the list. We chose that you had to be able to protect borders and places had to be temperate. So with hindsight, it's quite obvious that large islands with complex societies on them already make up the list. We were quite surprised the UK came out strongly. It is densely populated, has traditionally outsourced manufacturing, hasn't been the quickest to develop renewable technology, and only produces 50% of its food. But it's on the list. So, well, where should we go? It's a long way away, New Zealand, isn't it?" Of course, you have to get in as well. They might sort of not let you in when you get there. I'm not going back to England. Corsica? No, well, small island somewhere in the mid-Atlantic. The Guardian says the daily number of COVID cases reported in the UK has risen for the second day in a row, although experts have cautioned against drawing premature conclusions from the fluctuations. On Thursday, 31,117 cases were reported in the UK, up from 27,734 the day before, which marked the first rise in cases since the 20th of July. While the recent drop in cases has been much discussed, according to Dr. Claire Banchian, Vice President of the RSM and Clinical Consultant in Global Public Health, there has also been a recent drop in testing. Speaking at an online seminar hosted by the Society, she said, "I've just come from a meeting with colleagues at PHE, Public Health England, and in fact they were just confirming there's been a 20% reduction in testing over this very recent period, although it was unclear whether this related to the UK or England alone." And she added that PHE believed there was a very clear uptake in rates, resulting in the peak following the Euros, which again was expected, noting that while at present there was a rise in hospital admissions and mortality, the situation may potentially have improved. And the reduction in testing chimes with data from the government's coronavirus dashboard that reveals the total number of tests conducted in the UK fell by just over 14% for the 22nd of July to the 28th of July, compared with the previous 7 days. The Irish Times says the cost of maintaining the existing range of health services for the state's ageing population is forecast to increase by almost twice as much previously thought, with an extra €324 million expected to be needed next year, according to a government review. Figures in the review to be published today by the Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform suggest that extra provision may have to be made in the budget to cope with the demographic change. And the Europe edition of the Local says that Getlink, the operator of the Channel Tunnel link between France and Britain, reported on Thursday deepening losses for the first half of the year as Brexit and the COVID-19 pandemic hits traffic flows hard.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
I'm Rob Harrison with the top stories across the Riviera. The government says it's particularly concerned about rising COVID-19 infections in Mediterranean resorts. Numbers have been increasing rapidly this week, and local authorities have been introducing new regulations to stop large numbers of people congregating in public places such as beaches. Young adults continue to be the most at risk from infection, but cases are rising rapidly in all age groups, and pressure on hospital services is increasing. The government spokesman Gabriel Attal says the fourth wave is of particular concern in resort towns from the Mediterranean to the Atlantic coast. The Outre-Maritime now has the second highest infection rate anywhere in metropolitan France. On Thursday, the regional health authority said the infection rate had risen to 656 per 100,000 people. 22 more patients suffering from the virus were admitted to the department's hospitals yesterday, bringing the total number of people receiving treatments to 161, an increase of 20% on last week. 21 people are receiving intensive care treatment. Another large demonstration by people opposed to COVID-19 vaccination and the government's health pass is expected in Nice tomorrow. Last Saturday, around 6,000 people took part in a march along the Promenade des Anglais, and there were several violent incidents as police were forced to intervene to stop people gaining access to the Voie Rapide. The prefect of the Outre-Maritime says that peaceful protest is a democratic right, but violence will not be tolerated. Extra police will be on duty in the city tomorrow. The busiest weekend on the roads so far this summer is forecast as July and August holidaymakers make long-distance journeys. The French road monster Bison Futé has dubbed tomorrow Black Saturday and has urged motorists to put long-distance trips off until Sunday or even Monday if possible. The A8 motorway is expected to be saturated, with traffic starting to build from this afternoon. Sunday should be a little better, but still busy, while Monday will be a lot easier. The French Minister for Small Business is to appear in court in September on charges of concealing inheritance and interest. Alain Cliese denies the charges. He's accused of not fully declaring an inheritance and interest paid on stock options amounting to €171,000. Mr. Cliese is not the first minister to face legal problems in the government of President Macron. Several high-ranking politicians, including the Interior Minister Gérald Darmanin and the Justice Minister Éric Dupond-Moretti, are currently under investigation over allegations of rape and corruption, respectively. The new IKEA store at the Plan du Var opposite the Stade Alliance Riviera on the outskirts of Nice should be open in the spring of next year. The massive construction will have a surface area of 32,000 square metres, with a further 16,675 square metres dedicated to housing and 1,868 square metres of office space. The interior of the store will start to be fitted in December, and there will be parking for 2,000 vehicles. The completion of the new store has been delayed, notably by strike action and the first lockdown of the coronavirus pandemic. The development will save residents of the Outre-Maritime a trip to Toulon or Marseille and also cuts delivery costs. And Monaco police are to be equipped with smartphones to check health passes. Speaking on Monaco Info TV, the Monaco Director of Police, Richard Magangoni, said the move is intended to make sure that residents and visitors alike are offered the maximum protection possible from COVID-19. Visitors to Monaco from the Outre-Maritime, the Var and the Imperial region of Italy must be in possession of a valid health pass before being allowed into bars and restaurants. The requirements will be extended to residents and Monaco workers next month. Police have been operating a number of roadblocks to make sure that visitors are in possession of the correct documents. A number of fines have also been issued for non-compliance with the wearing of face masks in outdoor areas. Meanwhile, Monaco is rolling out vaccination for people aged 40 and over who work in the principality. The 50 and over age group has already been vaccinated, and now anyone aged 40 and over who works in Monaco and wishes to be vaccinated is asked to call 9205 5500 to take an appointment at the National Vaccination Centre at the Auditorium Reynier 3. People attending vaccination appointments should take their ID and Monaco work permit with them.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
At the Olympic Games, the host Japan continue to enjoy success in the medals table and are second in the race for gold behind China and the USA. Australia and the Russian Olympic Committee athletes are also doing well, while Team GB are yet to add to their gold medal tally. France and Germany are picking up, and there have been gold medals too for Italy, the Netherlands and Canada. There are 21 medal events on day 7 today, including archery, cycling, fencing, rowing, swimming and table tennis. Meanwhile, the first track and field events start today, with qualifying in the men's high jump and discus, along with the early rounds of the women's 800 metres, men's 400 metres hurdles, and women's 100 metres. Rugby Union. The scene is set for the second test between South Africa and the British and Irish Lions in Cape Town. The Springboks coach Razzy Erasmus has again caused controversy after releasing an hour-long video monologue complaining about the refereeing in last weekend's series opener. South Africa Rugby is reported to have been unaware about the video before it was released. World Rugby has said it's examining the content of the video closely. The match kicks off at 6pm tomorrow. Ben O'Keefe of New Zealand will be in charge, with last week's referee Nick Berry of Australia and Mathieu Reynal of France as his assistants, and Marius Jonker of South Africa, the TMO again. Formula One, first practice for Sunday's Hungarian Grand Prix is taking place later as the battle between Max Verstappen and Lewis Hamilton resumes. There is a certain amount of bad blood between the drivers now as they battle it out for control of the World Championship. Verstappen was aggrieved by what he saw as Hamilton's aggression at the British Grand Prix, which led to him crashing out at high speed. At a hearing on Thursday, race officials rejected Red Bull's demand for an increased penalty to be imposed on the seven-time world champion after ruling there was no new evidence. Hamilton and Mercedes have put it down to a racing incident, but there could be more fireworks at the front this weekend. Second practice 3pm this afternoon, qualifying at 3pm tomorrow, and the race at 3pm on Sunday. Verstappen has just an 8-point lead now over Hamilton at the top of the Drivers' Championship. Here is a check on the day's football news from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Al Ross at BBC Sport, and Manchester United's pre-season friendly on Saturday has been called off after a small number of positive COVID-19 cases at the club. United drew 2-2 against Brentford on Wednesday and detected cases after routine testing of the first team. United say they've cancelled the game at the second-tier side Preston as a precautionary measure. A mixture of both players and staff are now in isolation. Meanwhile, manager Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been talking about their capture of the Real Madrid defender Rafael Varane and why they spent $48 million on the French defender.
He's a player that we've followed for many, many years. I know Sir Alex was very, very close to signing him. Got him at the other end of his career. He's proved over his whole career what good a person he is, first of all. Professional, and he's won what there is to win.
So United's game on Saturday is off because of COVID. Well, the Premier League wants all clubs to trial COVID-19 ticketing measures ahead of possible UK government-mandated passports from October. Chelsea became the first top-flight club to announce fans would need proof of being fully vaccinated or have a negative test result in order to attend games this coming season. Tottenham are also trialling the measures for their friendly at home to Arsenal next weekend. Elsewhere, West Ham have signed Paris Saint-Germain goalkeeper Alphonse Areola on a season-long loan with a view to a permanent deal. The Hammers had a bid for West Brom's England international Sam Johnston turned down earlier this month. And Chelsea midfielder Conor Gallagher is set to join Crystal Palace on a season-long loan. The 21-year-old has a contract until 2025, but he's yet to make a first-team appearance and has spent the last two seasons out on loan. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Finally, in Rugby League, the organisers of the World Cup say the chances of the tournament going ahead are only 50-50 now, with a final decision expected in the coming days. Australia and New Zealand pulled out of the event last week, citing player welfare and safety concerns related to COVID-19. The chief executive of the tournament, John Dutton, says their withdrawal is irreversible and it's touch and go whether the event will go ahead. It's understood the Australia and New Zealand players wanted to go ahead, but the decision to pull out was taken by their respective boards.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the El Maritim and the VAR, the general situation is weak high pressure, 1,015 millibars over the region. Winds are variable or southwesterly, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,013 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, thundery showers, force 2 to 4 easterly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 1 to 3. The sea is calm, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Saturday, cloudy, force 2 to 4 westerly winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagne-sur-Mer, open-air shopping and leisure centre.
Finding coastal areas, some thunder inland later and light to moderate southeasterly winds. Temperatures 28 to 30 degrees on the coast, up to 34 degrees again inland in the Var. Overnight lows 20 to 23 degrees with partially cloudy skies. Now the weekend, we'll keep an eye on the terrace furniture. Sunshine and showers developing tomorrow with some more persistent rain on Saturday night. Fine on Sunday, highs of 26 tomorrow, 28 to 30 degrees on Sunday.
The weather forecast brought to you by Polygon Riviera in Gagnes-sur-Mer. Open-air shopping and leisure centre. Shops, restaurants, cinema, casino, gym. There is something for everyone. Only 20 minutes from Monaco and Cannes. Visit polygon-riviera.fr.
Finally, more than £28 billion in old fivers, tenors, £20 and even £50 notes have not been cashed in, according to the Bank of England. The paper £10 and £5 banknotes are no longer legal tender, while paper £20 and £50 notes cannot be used after September 2022. On top of that, there are around £109 million in older round pound coins that haven't been banked, says the Royal Mint. The Bank of England will continue to swap old notes for their face value. Details of the cash still hiding in homes was revealed in a Freedom of Information request. The Bank of England said over a billion paper banknotes remain in circulation. 140 million paper £5 notes, 76 million £10 paper notes, 510 million £20 paper notes, and 341 million £50 paper notes have not been returned. The £5 notes were withdrawn in May 2017 and the £10 notes in March 2018, and since when they haven't been legally accepted as a means of payment. On top of the paper cash, the Royal Mint said around 1.59 billion old-style £1 coins have been returned, not including around 1.45 million that were counterfeits.